What have you been able to gather about Dr. St. James, about the man he is now, and accounts from students who say what a terrific professor he is?
I think the bag is pretty mixed right now. I mean, we hear the university had put out a statement that they really have not deviated from since putting it out last Thursday, I believe, a three-paragraph statement that praised St. James for a remarkable academic career, given the, I think they said, the challenging childhood that he had. That indicated that he would be teaching classes at Millikan this fall. And it also said that this disclosure was something only recently that the university had found out about. So it was clear that when St. James was hired by the Decatur College back in 1986, this was something they didn't know about. I mean, I know that there are people on the campus right now who this is a very jolting disclosure to them. I mean, I think, you know, in the era that we're in, post Virginia Tech, post NIU, you know, these campus shootings, you know, there is a greatly heightened sense of security on campuses. I think that that's the note that it struck, you know, that against this backdrop of heightened security, people really wanted to know what the story was. You know, we talked to people who are in psychology right now who credit him for steering them into careers in psychology. But on the flip side, there are people who look upon this, you know, as a blemish on the university. I mean, we contacted the mayor of Decatur, Mayor Mike McElroy, and, you know, he said that, you know, he wasn't going to outright call for his resignation. He did say that to him seemed like the honorable thing for St. James to do, given the heightened scrutiny that was coming upon this, and particularly on the university. It's attracted a national following. I mean, I was on Fox News talking about this on Wednesday night, and Today's show has done pieces on this. And so it's just like it's really kind of an embarrassment, an unexpected public relations headache for Millikan as students are about to head back there.
What element is perhaps a little frustrating? Legally, he was not convicted of these crimes, but what else would you like to find out since the professor is not commenting on this?
Well, I mean, there are a variety of things that you know, I think people are naturally curious about. And one is that when he was cleared of the killings by reason of insanity, there was a diagnosis from doctors who declared him paranoid schizophrenic. And instead of being sent to prison, he was institutionalized in Texas at a psychiatric hospital and stayed there from 1968, I believe, until 1974. And at that point, doctors at the hospital determined his condition had stabilized. I mean, I think what many people would like to know is, you know, what kind of condition still exists. I mean, you know, many people say that paranoid schizophrenia is a lifelong condition. I mean, it's clearly a lifelong condition that requires medication daily. And what is the mental health history of this gentleman? You know, there's also a question about he used a .22 caliber rifle to kill his father, mother, and sister. Does he have a permit in Illinois to own guns? That's an interesting question. We did backdoor that question a little bit and went to the Department of Natural Resources to see if he had a hunting permit, and he does not. I mean, I think those are just sort of some of the baseline questions that exist. I mean, again, I think to your question earlier about the feedback, we've had a great deal of folks who have said, you know, just leave this guy alone. He's had a 27-year career at Millikan and hasn't disturbed anyone over there or done anything upsetting, and has attracted a following of students who respect his work. The oddity of this story, the reason that it has, I think, taken on national significance is because when you think about, you know, a college professor, I mean, you know, yeah, you think about maybe a hippie, maybe you think about, you know, you don't assume that there's going to be this kind of violent past.
Well, just based on the other coverage we've seen, I have a hard time believing that he would be left alone when classes start.
With all stories like this, that you know, they sometimes take time to play out. And in this case, you know, this is a gentleman who is nearing retirement age. I believe he's 61. It may be a case where the university is, you know, certainly aware of the public relations damage that it's taking as a result of this. Maybe they're trying to find a quiet, gentle way to get him out of there. But, you know, it's something that we may not know for a while. On the flip side, maybe this is a guy who's going to be teaching in 10 years. We don't know. But I think the story still has legs. I think that, you know, certainly the response in the campus, how they react, if there are rallies in support of him, if there are people who are saying, I'm not going to go and take a class with this guy. You know, I think what we don't know, it's, you know, Millikan, of course, is a small liberal arts college here, and they rely upon a great deal of outside private money. You know, that's another question. Will this disclosure and the negative publicity attached to it that has, you know, really kind of gone from coast to coast as a result of this Texas newspaper's reporting, you know, will that cause any sort of fundraising to dry up? This has been one of the most unusual stories in my career, and it's stirred passions most heatedly on both sides. I mean, in a lot of ways, this kind of reminds me of the whole debate that we had over the abolition of the death penalty in Illinois, where people had such hardened positions on one side or the other of this. And that's what I see here. People either, you know, believe to their core that this guy deserves to be left alone and allowed to continue teaching, and that he is a shining example of how somebody can rehabilitate themselves, to people in the other extreme who are disgusted by this and who believe that, you know, you're dealing with young people and young people's minds, and the university giving a pass to this violent past in some way just overlooks the deaths of three people.